Very nice verse, an important verse, which conveys the important that ultimately a devotee of the Lord, even if he or she is not a sannyasi, is superior to someone who may be a sannyasi but not a devotee of God. So let us all chant this verse. Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkham aptum ayogatah Yoga yukto munir brahma Na chirena digachati Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkham aptum ayogatah Yoga yukto munir brahma Na chirena adhigacchati Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkham aptum ayogatah Yoga yukto munir brahma Na chirena adhigacchati Would anyone like to chant? Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. Kindly repeat. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. So here is a description of two kinds of sannyasis. The first half refers to one kind of sannyasi. The second half refers to another kind of sannyasi. What is the first kind of sannyasi? Ayogataha, who is not in devotional service to the Lord. And what is the second kind? Yoga yukto munir brahma. Yoga yuktaha. He is very much involved in serving the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So the first kind of sannyasi is the Mayavadi sannyasi. The second kind of sannyasi is the devotee sannyasi, bhakta sannyasi. What is the difference between the two? Those who are not in devotion, those who are not in the bhakti marga, they do not accept that God has a form. They do not accept that ultimately God is a person. They like to see the absolute truth as something impersonal, nirakar, as some light that is spread everywhere, sarvavyapi. It is everywhere. They do not see that every light has a source. So they are captivated by the dazzling effulgence, Brahma Jyoti. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Brahmano hi pratishthaham. I am the basis of this nirasis. They pursue this impersonal Brahma Jyoti with the idea that their soul should eventually merge into that Jyoti or that light and become one with it. So the Mayavadi sannyasis, they want to extinguish their individuality. They want to become God. They want to commit spiritual suicide. What is normal suicide? a person takes some poison or shoots himself, and then he loses his material identity. But spiritual suicide means that you want to lose also. But that is not possible. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Mamai vansho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha, that the living entity or the Atma is eternally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Eternally, sanatanaha. Therefore, the jiva or the Atma is always an individual. The jiva can never become God. The jiva is always the part and God is always the whole. The jiva always must serve the complete, that is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So therefore, the process by which the Mayavadi sannyasis try to attain the Supreme, it is very abstract, very difficult. Kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hikatir dukkham dehavadbhir avapyate. Lord Krishna explains, in answer to Arjuna's pointed question about these two kinds of sannyasis. In the 12th chapter, Arjuna asked the clear question, My dear Krishna, of these two paths, which is the superior? Who is superior, the person who is worshipping you with love and devotion, or he who pursues the Nirakar, the Brahma Jyoti? Very clearly Lord Krishna describes that it is my devotee who is supreme. And as far as one who tries to pursue the Nirakar or the impersonal, he says this verse, Kleshaha. Klesh, what is the meaning of klesh? Suffering. Adhiktaraha tesham. Not just ordinary klesh. Adhiktaraha tesham. That such people who try to attain the impersonal, it is extremely difficult for them. Avyakta satta chetasam. Those people whose chitta or whose consciousness is absorbed in the avyakta, the unmanifest, impersonal, very difficult to understand. You cannot relate to some light. You can relate to some person, but very difficult to relate to some abstract concept like a light. So therefore, very difficult for them to conceive. So, klesha adhittarah tesham. And then he says, Dehavadbhir avapyate, for a person, for a jivatma that has a material body, it is extremely difficult to get this path. Why is it difficult? Because not only is it difficult to conceptualize, to understand, but also it involves a lot of study. You have to try to study the Vedanta, various Upanishads, try to see the various meanings of all the words, the grammar, try to split the words this way, try to get so many meanings, try to do so much of tapasya, austerities. This is the Jnana Marga. Those who are following the Nirakar, they follow the Jnana Yoga Marga. Those who accept the personality of God, they follow the Bhakti Marga. So the Jnana Marga, as declared by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is extremely difficult to achieve. Although eventually they may attain some spiritual destination, but there is no satisfaction there. There is no happiness to be attained there. So even though they may perform austerities or tapasya for many, many years, after some time, they come back again to this, into some philanthropic social welfare activities, which have nothing to do with spiritual life. Yen ye ravina daksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayah aruhiya krichrena parampadam tataha patantyado vanadrita yushmadangrayah. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmaji declares, My dear Lord, those people who are not your devotees, they think themselves to be vimukta, liberated. Vimuktamaninah tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayah. Why is it contaminated? Because they have not understood you in truth. In order to understand your impersonal aspect, aruhiya krichrena, they perform much tapasya, much austerity, so much difficulty. And then they think, Param Padam Tataha. They think that I have obtained a supreme destination. But actually they have not. So what happens? Patanti Adhaha. They sometimes fall down to the material platform. And what is the reason for this? Anadrita Yushmad Anghrayaha. They have neglected your lotus feet. They have neglected to serve you and love you. Therefore, they have no taste in their sadhana. They have no happiness. On the other hand, when the Vaishnava or the devotee, he serves the Lord, he does his sadhana, then he derives tremendous happiness from it. Susukham kartum avyayam. Because the path of bhakti is extremely joyful. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. One understands the bhagavat tattva, the vijnana of the bhagavat tattva, the science of God, simply by rendering bhakti. Evam prasanna manaso. One becomes extremely cheerful, jolly, happy. This is the situation of the bhakta. When the bhakta is worshipping the form of the Lord, it is not an imaginary form. It is a real form. When we see the form of the Lord here in the deity form, in the temple, that is directly the Lord Himself. Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example. He says, if you want to post a letter, then you have to go to the authorized post box that is made by the postal department. That is of a certain dimension. There are certain descriptions of it. If you post your letter in that post box, then it will reach the desired destination. But if you see some boxes lying on the road and you put your letter in that, then your letter will not reach. Similarly, the deity form of the Lord is the authorized post box. Our prayers to the Lord, our service to the Lord will be received and delivered to the Lord. The Lord will accept. It will reach the destination. But if you just simply pray to any stone or any other object, it is the wrong number. It will not reach the destination. So the Lord manifests Himself in this deity form as He is in the spiritual world, just in order to accept our seva. So for the devotee, he is engaged in many, many wonderful activities, services throughout the day and night. For the devotee, even the sleep at night is a seva. But for those who are on the path of jnana, it's extremely difficult. And sometimes they get tired and they get bewildered. So much so that having reached very high destinations also sometimes they have to come down again. It is very risky. The Jnana Marg, the principal exponent of that is Adi Shankaracharya in South India, almost 800 years ago. And he popularized the Advaita philosophy, which proclaims that the Atma is the same as God. The Atma is God, only that the Atma has forgotten for the time being. Because the Atma is in Maya. When this curtain of Maya is removed, then the Atma will realize that I am also God. So this is the Advaita philosophy, the Jnana Marga. But that same Shankaracharya, in his Bhajagovindam prayers, he says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudhamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale Nahi Nahi Rakshate Dukrana Karane. He says, Mudhamate, O my dear fool. He is addressing the person who is trying to do word jugglery and trying to split the words and trying to do grammar and all other things to try to understand Upanishad and Vedanta from this way and that way. Simply laboriously exercising his intellect, but he is not chanting the name of the Lord. So Shankaracharya, who is the principal exponent of the Advaita philosophy, is himself scolding those who avoid chanting the name of God. He says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mudhamate. He says, chant the name of Govinda, chant the name of Govinda. Why? Nahi, nahi, rakshate dukrana karine. samprapta kale, at the time of your death, your grammar and your logic will not save you. Only the name of Govinda will save you. Therefore, chant with devotion. In other words, ultimately we understand that the process of devotion is a very natural path. It is natural for the soul. The process of austerities and trying to understand the scriptures by logic according to Jnana Marg is a very artificial path. It's a very difficult path, a roundabout path. And ultimately all forms of yoga, they must culminate in bhakti. So why not directly take to bhakti? Bhakti is a shortcut, the direct path. All the other yogas, they are like staircases to go up to some higher destination on a top floor. You take karma yoga, you go up to first floor. Then jnana yoga, second floor. Ashtanga yoga, third floor. And then finally you come to bhakti yoga, which is on the terrace of the third floor. But if you take lift called bhakti yoga, elevator, you will go straight to the top floor. Because bhakti yoga is so simple, so easy, so sublime and so direct. So yoga yukta muni brahma na chirena adhikacchati. In this sixth verse of the fifth chapter that we are discussing today, Lord Krishna explains that the person who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord in the bhakti marga, he attains the supreme very quickly. Chirena means very long time. Na chirena means very quickly. Adhigachati means obtains. So the devotee obtains success very quickly. Whereas for one who is on the Jnana Marg, it is not only difficult, it is also very time consuming. The Mayavadi sannyasis, they have a formula that if you take sannyas, then you have become one with God. Danda grahana matrena nara narayana bhavet. Danda, sannyas danda. If you accept the sannyas danda, then nara or the human being becomes narayana. But that is not possible. Nara remains nara, narayana remains narayana. So therefore, one great saint who was also a king before he renounced his kingdom in South India, called Kulashekhar, has written a very nice verse in his Mukundamala Stotra, where he is scolding such sannyasis who neglect or avoid the devotional service to the Lord and instead take to other paths of cultivating jnana and trying to analyze the truth by logic and by other such things. He says, Narayanaya nama ityamumeva mantram sansara ghora vishaya nirahanya nityam shrinvantu bhavyamatayo yatayo nuragat uchaistaram upadisham yaham urdhva bahuhu. He is telling the yatayaha. Yatayaha is the plural for yati. Yati means sannyasi, one who has renounced everything. So he is giving a warning. Uchaistaram, in a loud voice, Mukundamala Stotra, King Kulashekhar is saying, in a loud voice, upadeshami aham, I am giving advice to the sannyasis who have renounced the world. And I am not only speaking loudly, urdhva bahuhu, with my hands raised, in a loud voice, I am giving sound advice to those sannyasis who are of good intelligence, bhavya mataha, whose intelligence is still intact. I advise them, Shrinvantu, you hear. What should you hear? Narayanaya nama iti amum eva mantram. The mantra of Lord Narayana. You must hear the holy name. How must you hear? Anuragat. With great devotion you must hear. Give up your ways of cultivating the truth by just logic and grammar and all these things. Tapasya. Try to understand the Lord by chanting His beautiful holy names, which are full of nectar and which are the only way to get freed from the sansara ghora visha nirharanaya nityam. This samsara is ghor visha, according to King Kulashekhar. It is like a poison. When you take poison, what happens? We die. So this material world is Martya Loka, where everyone has to die. One after the other, we face death. Janma Mrityu Chara Vyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. So this cycle of birth and death is going on from time immemorial. Simply because we have avoided the devotional service to the Lord and we have indulged instead in trying to enjoy the pleasures of this world. So King Kulashekhar is warning not just the ordinary person who is engaged in obtaining worldly pleasures, but he even has the position and the courage to warn the sannyasis who are not devotees. He says, you may be sannyasis, but still you must chant the name of the Lord. There is a wonderful story in this regard of the great saint Ramanujacharya, which we narrated in on one Ekadashi some weeks ago. When Ramanujacharya went to his guru Goshtipurna to get the mantra diksha, 18 times his guru sent him back, saying, no, you are not ready for the mantra yet. Again and again and again, Ramanujacharya came persistently without getting disappointed. And finally, on the 18th time, seeing his sincerity, his guru Goshtipurna, he agreed. He said, all right, I will give you the Vaishnava mantra, but on one condition. The condition is that this mantra has to be heard only by those who are absolutely pure, whose senses and mind are fully controlled, whose hearts are absolutely pure, full of devotion. Such qualified people only should be given this mantra, nobody else. I can find no one apart from you who is eligible to receive this mantra. By simply chanting this mantra, which consists of the names of Lord Narayan, one will easily get liberated from this existence and one will go to Vaikuntha. One will attain the perfection of life. This mantra is directly the mantra of Lord Vishnu. So Ramanujacharya was very happy to receive it, and along with that mantra he also received much divine instruction from Goshtipurna, who was a very great Vaishnava. And Ramanujacharya then went away from there, and as he was leaving he came to a Vishnu temple in the same town, and there he realized so many thousands of people are here in this marketplace, all running here and there, and they do not know the purpose of life, and they are wandering about wasting their valuable human life, and they are suffering in this material existence. So I should take them all to Vaikuntha. I should give them this mantra. Then he remembered his guru's warning. Guru had said, under no condition you should give this mantra to anyone. But Ramanujacharya thought that I should give. So he went to the top of the temple and he said in a loud voice to all those who had assembled there. He said, my dear friends, I have a very valuable jewel to give all of you. Those who wish to receive this jewel, please come in large numbers. The word spread like wildfire in the town that some great prophet has come and he is going to give us some nice jewel, something very precious. Some everywhere people came rushing. Who is this prophet who has come to give us something very valuable? And then Ramanujacharya told the assembled crowd that I will tell you one wonderful mantra, and by simply chanting this mantra you can go to Vaikuntha. You can get liberated from this material existence, from the cycle of birth and death. So the whole crowd started saying, yes, yes, we want this mantra, we want this mantra. So then Ramanujacharya loudly declared the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. And he said it 3 times and the crowd repeated. When they all repeated, because they had chanted the name of Lord Narayan with their hearts, their faces became flushed with joy and happiness and they looked at each other in great happiness. And Ramanujacharya became very, very happy also to see this wonderful scene. where so many hundreds of people were chanting the name of Lord Narayan. In the meanwhile, word came back to Goshtipurna that your disciple has gone to the marketplace. In fact, he has gone to the wall of the Vishnu temple and he has disclosed your secret mantra to the whole city. Goshtipurna became very angry. And at that time, Ramanujacharya came back to his guru's house to seek his blessings. And when Goshtipurna saw him, he was very angry. He said, "You do not show me your face. It is a sin for me to see your face because you have disobeyed my instruction." Ramanujacharya said, "It is for your glorification." So Goshtipurna replied, "That is not the point." He said, "I specifically told you that this mantra should not be told to anyone. Even to give you this mantra, I sent you back 18 times. And now you have just immediately after your diksha gone and given this mantra in the public, and hundreds of people, all kinds of fallen people are there, uncultured people are there, and you have given this mantra to everyone. Do you know what is the punishment for this?" So Ramanujacharya said, "Yes, Gurudev, the punishment is to go to hell." So Goshtipurna asked him, "In spite of knowing this, you still went ahead and did this?" So Ramanujacharya replied, he said, "Yes, I am very well aware that I will go to hell. But you had told me that anyone who chants this mantra will be liberated from material existence and will go back to Vaikuntha, where he will be freed from suffering forever. So I was thinking that if I give this mantra to all this suffering humanity, thousands upon thousands will be able to go back to Vaikuntha. They will be liberated from suffering. And if the price for them to get permanent happiness is that one insignificant person like me has to go to hell, I am prepared. And ultimately, the glory and the credit for that will come to you. Because you have taught me this mantra and you have given me the holy name which I have given to them. Therefore, the credit for all of them going to Vaikuntha goes to you." When Goshtipurna heard this, he was stunned. He could not speak a word. And he became so overjoyed, he embraced Ramanujacharya and said, "Actually, you are my guru and I am your shishya. Today you have taught me what is real compassion, what is real devotion. Devotion means to sacrifice one's own physical condition or one's own so-called happiness for the sake of giving happiness to others." He was so touched when he heard Ramanujacharya's willingness to go to hell and suffer in hell if other people could be liberated. This is the compassion of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord is paradukha dukhi. When he sees other people in dukkha, he becomes very sad. Today, unfortunately, people are parasukha dukhi. When we see other people's happiness, we feel very bad. Our heart burns with jealousy. "Oh, he has got new car, brand new car, and I have got old Maruti car." Or we become paradukha sukhi. "His brand new car has got accident. Ah, very nice. I did not have car, but he had new car and now accident is there. At least some consolation is there for me." But a real devotee of the Lord is para dukkha dukhi and para sukha sukhi. So Ramanujacharya showed by his example that if we simply do not care for our own well-being, but in this missionary spirit, we spread the holy name of the Lord everywhere, we can engage the whole world in the path of bhakti. There is no consideration of caste and creed and no other barrier is there. Goshtipurna went on and on speaking. He experienced a kind of thrill and happiness that he had never before experienced, although he was such an elevated devotee of the Lord. But just this statement of Ramanujacharya, by understanding his attitude of compassion, his spirit of giving the holy name to others, it evoked such a thrill in the heart of Goshtipurna that he became completely indebted to Ramanujacharya. And this story for us is very, very instructive, because it shows that in this path of bhakti, one who chants the name of the Lord is greater than a sannyasi who doesn't chant the name of the Lord, who is not a devotee. Even a child or even an illiterate person can be considered worshipable. Aho batashvapacho to garyan yajjihvagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhvahu sasnurariyar brahmanocho namagrinantiyete. In a Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Devahuti tells her son Kapila, who is an incarnation of the Lord, Aho batashvapacha, even if there is a chandal, a shvapacha, if he is chanting always the names of Lord Hari, Jihvagre Vartate Namatubhyam, if he is chanting on his tongues the name of Lord Krishna, then he is worshipable for the whole world. And one must understand that such a person has performed all tapasya in the previous life. He has performed all the Agnihotras and Homas in some previous life. He has visited all the holy places, taken bath in all the holy kundas and rivers. He has studied all the Vedas, performed all the rituals, done everything. Even if that person is born as a chandal, chandal means considered a very low caste. Those who eat the meat of a dog are considered very low people. But even if a chandal is chanting the name of Lord Krishna with faith and devotion, he is to be considered worshipable even for the so-called Brahmins, if that Brahmin is himself not chanting. And he is worshipable even for the sannyasis, if those sannyasis are not chanting the name of Lord Hari. The sannyasis who are following the Jnana Mark, they have to perform a lot of austerities. But because they are not chanting the name of the Lord, that ras or that taste does not come. So what is the value of such austerity? So the Shastra therefore says, Aradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim, na aradhito yadi hari tapasatatah kim, antar bahir yadi hari tapasatatah kim, na antar bahir yadi hari tapasatatah. They say, if you are always worshipping the Supreme Lord Hari, Adi Hari, tapasatatah kim, what is the need for you to do a tapasya, austerities? Na aradhito yadi hari, if you are not worshipping Lord Hari, then also what is the use of your tapasya? Because that tapasya will not help you. So for a person who is not a devotee of Lord Hari, his tapasya is of no value. And for a person who is a devotee of Lord Hari, he does not need to do tapasya. Similarly, antar bahir yadi hari tapasatatah kim, if one is seeing the Lord inside Latsa, then what is the need for austerities? And if a person is not seeing the Lord in outside everywhere, then what is the value of his austerities? Such a beautiful verse. It is describing to us the real spiritual life. Real spiritual life is not going to the Himalayas and performing austerities. Surely, tapasya must be there, study of the Shastra must be there, acceptance of vows must be there, but it must be done in the spirit of bhakti. And even if a housewife, a small child, an old person, an illiterate person, or a sannyasi, if anyone follows these with a mood of devotion, chanting the holy names of the Lord, Yoga Yukto Muni Brahma Na Chirenadi Gacchati, will attain the Supreme Lord without delay. This is the blessing given by Lord Krishna. On the other hand, Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkham Aptum Ayogataha. For one who is Ayogataha, he only gets Dukkha. Dukkham Aptum. So why should one unnecessarily strive for Dukkha? One should simply try to chant the holy name of the Lord and in this way comfortably live with the devotees and chant and be happy. Prabhupada used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Very simple way to be happy. But Prabhupada was saying, Dukkham aptum ayogatah. The people, when you tell them to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, you tell them chant, 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 they say, can't, can't, can't. Then what to do? Then Dukkham aptum. Then they will have to get Dukkha. Suffering. Where the holy name of the Lord is there is only happiness. Where the name of the Lord is not there is only Dukkha. So then in the next shloka, Lord Krishna continues the point of one who is working in devotion. Lord Krishna has now established the point that a person who is working but in a mood of devotion is superior to one who may be a sannyasi, although that person has renounced everything but is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. So let us see now, text 7. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvanna pina lipyate. But one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. In this verse, Lord Krishna is describing the Yoga Yukta Muni. Muni here refers to a thoughtful person. Devotee is very thoughtful. So how does this Yoga Yukta Muni that is mentioned in the earlier verse act in his life or her life? This is described here. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma. He is a purified soul. His intelligence becomes pure because of rendering devotional service to the Lord. Vijitatma. His mind is also controlled. Jitendriyaha. His indriyas or senses are also controlled. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. He is the ever well-wishing friend who is compassionate to all living beings. Kurvan apin lipyate. And even though he works in this world, he is not in the actions or the reactions of his actions. He remains free. Muktatma. So what are the qualities mentioned here? First of all, Vishuddhatma. Second, Vijitatma. And the third is Jitendriyaha. One whose intelligence, mind and senses all have become by contact with the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna through devotional service, by chanting the name of the Lord, by hearing his katha, by worshipping him, by taking prasadam, and by so many such methods of bhakti, one's whole existence becomes purified. Such a person is only connected to Lord Krishna. Prabhupada very beautifully explains in the commentary here. He says that a person who is a Vishuddhatma like this will not engage his senses in anything other than Krishna's service. Therefore, he does not like to hear anything except topics relating to Krishna. He does not wish to go anywhere if Krishna is not involved. He does not like to eat anything which is not offered to Krishna. In other words, such a Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma, Jitendriyaha, he lives only for the pleasure and satisfaction of Lord Krishna. He sees everything in connection with that. So this is a good hint for us, how we should also try to develop this stage of consciousness. So we should also not eat anything that is not offered to Lord Krishna. We should also try as much as possible to not go to places that have no connection to Lord Krishna. We should also offer the fruits of our activities to Lord Krishna. In this way, by keeping connection with Lord Krishna at every phase and stage of our life, one can become gradually purified. A person who has attained this perfectional stage, he develops this most wonderful quality that is described here by Prabhupada as Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. That means he is an ever well-wishing friend of everyone. It is very difficult to be everyone's friend. Not possible. Is it possible to be the good friend of everyone? Even if somebody speaks harshly to us, tomorrow we cease to be his friend. One harsh word and we become his enemy. And in this world, especially in Kali Yuga, it is so easy for good relations to become bad relations. Just a matter of one word and everything gets upset. So who can become a real friend of ours? Only a person who has these three qualities, whose intelligence is purified, whose mind is in control, whose senses are in control. Such a person is our real well-wisher. And such a well-wisher can only be the devotee of the Lord, nobody else. In the Bhagavatam, therefore, the characteristics of such a person have been described. Titikshavah karunikah suhridam sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhubhushanah. Kapiladev is describing who is a devotee of the Lord. Titikshavah. He is very tolerant. Titikshavan. In order to be the friend of people in this world, you have to be tolerant. Because the so-called friends may do many things we don't like. So we have to be very tolerant, which is very difficult in this age. Karuni kind. A devotee of the Lord is very kind to everyone. Suhridam sarvadehinam. He is a suhrid. Very close to the heart. Suhrid. Friend. The ever well-wishing friend. Of what? Of whom? Just his family members? Just the people of his caste or community? Or just his relatives? Just his countrymen? No. Sarvadehinam. He is an ever well-wishing friend of all living beings. Not even just the human beings. Even the animals, the insects. Sadhava sadhubhushana. And he is thoroughly honest. And these are the ornaments that decorate a devotee. These are the most precious and costly ornaments which are not found in any jewelers or goldsmith shops. But this is the sadhus, real sadhus may not wear gold and diamonds. But what are their ornaments? These are mentioned here. Titikshavan, Karunika, Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatravaha. They have no enemies. They do not consider anyone as their enemy. Others may consider them enemy like Hiranyakashyap considered Prahlad. But Prahlad never considered Hiranyakashyap as his enemy. So they are always equally disposed towards everyone, like Yudhishthir Maharaj also. His name was Ajata Shatru. Ajata Shatru, whose enemy has not been born. Jata means born, Ajata means not born. That means he doesn't have an enemy. He never bore any ill will towards anybody, even towards Duryodhan. Even in the midst of the forest in the Vanvas, Bhima and Arjuna were always scolding Yudhishthir. Draupadi was scolding. Every day this was a daily occurrence. And they would all scold Yudhishthir and said, just because of you. Because you did this, you did that, you did this, so this is our condition. And you are here just sitting with all the Brahmins and Rishis and sages hearing Harikatha. And Arjuna was always practicing Gandiv bow. When the day will come and I will shoot these arrows into Dushasana and Duryodhana, breaking trees and keeping his muscles in fighting tone. And he used to sit in the corner gnashing his teeth, when the day will come when I will kill Dushasana. Then he would break a tree in his anger and frustration. And sometimes they would scold Yudhishthir. And then Yudhishthir would say, please be patient, please be patient. We should not act against dharma. And if we act according to principles of dharma, we are not patient and we violate the laws of dharma, then we will suffer. So in this way, Yudhishthir would be very patiently pacify them. Then again, for that day, they would be pacified. Next day again they would remember all the insults they had borne. Again they would get angry. Again they would accuse Yudhishthir Maharaj. And again Yudhishthir would pacify them, calm them down. And Draupadi would also tell Yudhishthir, what kind of Kshatriya you are? You want to become Brahman? You are sitting whole day with the sages and just hearing? And Yudhishthir Maharaj would pacify her also. In this way, Yudhishthir never bore ill will against anybody. And this is the typical example of Yudhishthir Prahlad, of what kind of ornaments adorn the personality of a great soul. Yudhishthir was always working, Prahlad was always working, both became kings later on. Prahlad was asked by the Lord to become king. He became king. Yudhishthir also, on the instruction of Krishna, he accepted the throne of Hastinapur, of the whole world, and he ruled. But still they remained Ajatashatru. So that is the meaning of Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvan Apina Lipyate. If a person has such a consciousness, then he is never entangled in the cycle of karma, action-reaction, which binds us eventually to the cycle of birth and death. In other words, the conclusion of today's lecture is therefore, anyone in any walk or station of life should work actively for the service of Lord Krishna by chanting the holy names and performing various other kinds of services. This is a supreme path of spiritual life. And a person who does this is superior even to a sannyasi who is not a devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much. We will have darshan now with kirtan. After that we will have question answers. And after that there will be prasadam. So please do not leave. Please stay here.
The yogas mean there are four types of yogas. There are karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga and ashtanga yoga. Here, when it is compared with sannyasa and yoga, then how we take only bhakti yoga and why not other yogas like jnana yoga, karma yoga or ashtanga yoga?
Because as we study the other chapters, we will see that each particular kind of yoga has been discussed. And there will be a comparison to the highest, which is bhakti. The third chapter is karma yoga. The fourth chapter is jnana yoga. The fifth chapter, which we are discussing now, is karma sannyasa yoga. The sixth chapter is dhyana yoga or ashtanga yoga. The last verse of the sixth chapter, where these three forms of yoga have already been described and different kinds of yogis have been described. This last verse says, yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana bhadshuddhavan bhajate yumam samayukta tamo mataha. That of all the yogis, karma yogis, jnana yogis, dhyana yogis, the supreme is he who is with faith and love and devotion always serving me. Shraddhavan bhajate yumam samayuktatamo mataha. So I consider him to be the topmost of them all. When discussing the different forms of yoga in the verse before this one, Lord Krishna also describes that the yogi, in this case meaning the dhyana yogi, is superior to the tapasvi, he is superior to the jnani, he is superior to the karmi, but he doesn't say that he is superior to the bhakta. So somebody may say, because he has not said that he is superior to the bhakta, it doesn't mean that bhakta is superior. So in the very next verse itself, he says, yoginam api sarvesham. So he declares, yes, yes, I anticipate that question, therefore I am clearly saying, the bhakta is the topmost yogi. So in every chapter, that yoga is described, and then ultimately it is shown that the bhakta is superior. Because ultimately yoga means bhakti yoga. Because yoga means to link with the Lord. Huge. The link between the Atma and God is one of love, of bhakti. So that process, the direct process by which that link is revived, is bhakti yoga. That is how the word yoga yukto is understood to be a full person who is a bhakta. Any other questions?
Yeah. It is said that tolerance is one of the greatest jewel or the attributes of a devotee, great devotees. So tolerance means the externally some problems are happening to him, but in mind he has got some problem, but he is controlling his senses. It means the problem resides in mind still. So how tolerance can be called a great jewel?
Well, at least at the external level we should learn to tolerate first, then the mental tolerance will come. At least bodily tolerance, in the sense that suppose somebody speaks harshly, what is our first reaction? To speak back, to give the dose of his own medicine. One time, one devotee was explaining his experience, what he was before he became a devotee and after he became a devotee. Before he became a devotee, he was a very rash person. And he was always getting into fights with people. He was sitting in a train, in a local train, and he had put his foot on the other seat, which was empty. And some other passenger came and told him in a very harsh way, that is this your seat? In a harsh way he told him. And this person said, if I was not a devotee now, I would have given some other kind of reply. But now that I was a devotee, I immediately put my foot down, I cleaned the seat, please sit. He said, that is the difference between me before and me now. So tolerance means to tolerate insult. Tolerance is difficult because it's hurtful to the ego. The ego is very troublesome, always giving us trouble from inside. The ego wants nice massage. The ego wants to be gratified. And somebody pokes that ego, it is very painful. So tolerance means at least externally we start. In the mind we may be feeling very bad. But at least we start in the beginning by recognizing that this is also agent of the Lord who has come to teach me humility. Ultimately everyone has to tolerate voluntarily or by force. The nature of this world is everyone has to learn to tolerate. Even he may be a king or he may be ordinary man on the street. If we do not willingly learn to tolerate, we will be forced into situations where we will have no choice but to tolerate, to learn. So therefore, in second chapter of Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukhadukkhadaha agama payino nitya stam sthitikshasva bharata. My dear Arjuna, happiness in distress will come in this world and go, like the summer and winter seasons come and go. Automatically they will come and go of their own accord. So also happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, praise and blame, criticism and the opposite, they will all come, they will go, they will come, they will go. You never know what will come when. Today somebody is praising you and next minute when you go somebody will blame you. You may be feeling very happy, I have been praised. And next minute somebody criticizes. Then we realize that we are not the controllers. So if we become very happy when we are praised, to that extent we will become very sorry when we are criticized. So we will come to that in the coming shlokas in this chapter. Na prahrishyet priya prapyam, no dvijayet cha apriyam. Krishna will be discussing all these things. How we should not be overjoyed when something favorable comes. We should not be very distressed when something so-called unfavorable comes. So we have to learn to tolerate these dvandvas, dualities. This material world is full of dvandva, duality. So one who is equal in both the dvandva becomes peaceful. To become equal, one needs tolerance. One has to tolerate both the things. Not that one has to tolerate only criticism. One has to tolerate the praise also and not get carried away by it. When one is criticized, then one may react very strongly, very aggressively. But one should control oneself At the same time, when one is praised, then also one should not get carried away. One should realize, actually, this is not for me. I am not worthy of this praise. One should have this consciousness also. That is tolerance. So we have to cultivate this habit. It comes by anushilanam, by practice, by cultivation. And by the regular practice of devotional service, automatically also one will find oneself transforming. Any other question?
Actually, we spoke of chanting the holy name. What if some person is chanting Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha and who's actually accepting Mayavad philosophy?
Then that is not actually chanting the name. Chanting the name means to recognize that the person whose name you are chanting is a person. If you are chanting some name, but you don't believe that the name belongs to a person, then that is not very pleasing. So the chant, that kind of chanting is not real chanting of the name. It is imitation chanting. Chanting of the name of God must be done in a very devotional spirit, in the proper consciousness, and at the same time it must also be done with the proper conception or with the proper knowledge. Of course, anyone who chants the name of God, even in ignorance, will be benefited. But one cannot achieve the ultimate perfection of life unless one has a proper conception of the mantra, that God is a person and that His name is not different from Him. This Namano Abhinna Abhinnatvam, that the name is not different from Him. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that the name of the Lord is itself a form, He is a person, and is full of devotional ecstasy. This consciousness can lead to success. But the Mayavadis, because they deny that God is a person, so their chanting of the holy name is like firing a blank bullet. When you fire a gun that is loaded with bullets, then you can actually do some damage to someone. But if there are no bullets, you only fire a blank bullet. It may make a sound, but it will not have any effect. It may sound like the original bullet, but it is not actually effective. The same way, unless we are chanting in the proper conception and the proper consciousness, our chanting of the name of the Lord will not be effective. Somebody else had a question? Yes. Person disobeys the Guru, will he suffer? Well, the Guru is meant to be obeyed. For one who is desirous of progressing in spiritual life, one must become obedient and humble. Otherwise, it is not possible to progress. So a person who disobeys, he or she will not be able to progress in spiritual life. And because one does not progress in spiritual life, then one has to stay on here in this cycle of birth and death. That means one has to suffer. By surrendering our independence to a qualified spiritual authority, one actually gains real freedom. This is the mystery of spiritual life. We give up our freedom, to attain real freedom. We give up the false freedom to attain real freedom. Somebody else? One more question.
The last some related question of the Bhagavatam, please, Prabhuji.
Yes.
You say the Atma and the body, they are totally different. And something pain happens to body, then our soul also, we feel that it is paining to us. And same thing was related in Rahugana asked Jada Bharat. So when in the vessel there is a milk and the grains are put together, and when heat is given, milk is also heated and the rice also will be heated. So when body is pained and the like a grain, the soul also will be painful. It looks actually reality.
The soul is not affected. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, na chainam kledayantyapo, na shoshayati marutaha. In the second chapter, Lord Krishna describes the qualities of the soul. Nainam chindanti shastrani, that the instrument cannot cut it. Nainam dahati pavakaha, the wind cannot dry it. Na shoshayanti kledayapo, the water cannot wet it. It cannot be affected by anything material. But the soul thinks or imagines that he is being affected by the material situation, like a dream. In a dream, we may think we are a king, we may think we are Sachin Tendulkar, we may think so many things and identify, I am this person. And then, for the duration of the dream, I will suffer or enjoy the experiences of the king or of Sachin Tendulkar. If Sachin Tendulkar hits the floor, I will feel happy because I think I am Sachin Tendulkar in the dream. If Sachin Tendulkar gets out, then I will also feel bad because I feel I am Tendulkar, I have got out. I am not Sachin Tendulkar, neither I am the king. So this is a dream. It's a dream, wrong identification. So if I come to the realization, this is false. I am not Tendulkar, I am not this king. Then I am happy. Similarly, the soul is thinking, I am this body. But it is not the body. So long as the soul thinks that he or she is the body, there will be the experience of so-called happiness and so-called distress. Same as a dream, hitting four and getting out. Same thing. But when you realize, I am not the body, then you are peaceful, you are happy. So the grains are also matter. Milk is also matter. Both are affected by the fire. But the body and spirit are two different things. The body is affected by other material influences, but the spirit is not, because it is different by nature. So the Atma remains as it is. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham yat kritam chabhi padyate. The jiva is actually pure. But he comes under sammoha, under illusion. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam para api. He is paraha, he is beyond matter. But he still thinks himself to be identifying with the body. And he performs activities in this way because he is under a dream state. This connection of the Atma with the body is called ahankar, mithya ahankar, false ego. It is because of false ego that the Atma identifies with the body. So when we cut that identification, then we realize of the Atma and we become happy. Prasannatma. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samaha sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. One becomes Brahma bhuta, situated on the platform of the Atma, not of the body. And therefore automatically one becomes prasannatma. Alright? So thank you very much. It is quite late, so we will end here, but just an announcement.